a really good education program, and they don't really care maybe as much about hockey. You know, that's another option I think guys go in the portal for from other teams.
Are any of them engineers? Do you know?
Tech Hockey Guide presents the Chasing McNaughton Podcast, covering the Michigan Tech Huskies and the CCHA with your host, Tim Brown, Rob Gilreath, Dustin Lindstrom, and Matt Cavender.
Welcome to episode 55 of season 5 of the Chasing McNaughton Podcast, presented by Tech Hockey Guide and recorded from the state of hockey. I'm Tim Brown, your host, and I'm joined this week by Dustin Lindstrom.
Hey, everyone.
Rob Gilreath.
Hey, guys.
And Matt Cavender.
Hello, everybody.
Today's a little different than most of our podcasts. We're going to take the opportunity to focus on Michigan Tech's arch rival, Northern Michigan, and their portal situation. On March 31st, we decided to follow through on some things we talked about, writing a April Fool's story, and Northern Michigan's portal situation just seemed to be the perfect opportunity. And as part of me writing that story, I included a certain Northern Michigan player as being signing a pro contract, and he reached out to me on Twitter to inform me that that was not true. And then we had a nice discussion about satire and being April 1st. And then more people jumped in the portal, and it just felt appropriate to reach out to him and see if he wanted to come on the podcast. And he said yes. So thanks for joining us, Artem Schlein from Northern Michigan.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, I think obviously, you know, the portal situation is important. And you guys being from Michigan Tech, you guys want to know too, and the whole CCHA kind of wants to know what's happening, and that's why I'm here.
All right. So we're pretty much going to focus on Artem and his career and what's going on at Northern Michigan and the portal in general. So I don't think there's really anything else we want to talk about today, guys, right?
Yeah, I think that's the short of it, yeah.
All right. We'll be right back with Artem Schlein after a little thank you notes and a brief note from our sponsors.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Are you in the market for insurance? Have your rates for home, auto, boat, or more been increasing way beyond inflation? If so, maybe it's time you spoke with Aaron Pietola and the team at Arcadia Insurance Group, serving Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and more. Who better to serve you than a former Michigan Tech player? For more information, call 866-511-1069 or go to arcadiaagency.com. We fund everything at Tech Hockey Guide from listeners like you. You can show your support by becoming a patron at patreon.com/techhockeyguide. Whether you're interested in question priority, access to patron-only Zoom chats with coaches and players, in-stat deep dives, extended versions of the podcast, unedited video or audio, early access, or commercial-free listening, there's a level for you. We also now have 15% discounts off annual memberships with tiers ranging from $2 to $50 per month. Again, sign up at patreon.com/techhockeyguide.
All right, welcome back, Artem. So let's just start from talking about you and your career a little bit. How did you end up at Northern, or like coming stateside and ending up at Shattuck in the first place?
Right. It's a long journey, honestly. You know, I was born, my parents were born in Russia, and I lived there for 15 years, started playing hockey when I was five. Kind of through the path, you know, going through from like my town, small team, being invited to a little bigger team, and then going out there. And in Russia, it's a little different because you can't combine education with hockey. How like it sounds pretty weird to, you know, Americans and just overseas guys. But it works that way, that your hockey school is kind of different than your, you know, high school or middle school, wherever you're at. So you would have to either you quit hockey and you focus on education, because practices are the same time as school, and there's no college in Russia. Like, there's no college hockey at all. Yeah. So it's new for those guys. So that's why my parents decided to move me to the United States, you know, kind of to chase the opportunity, obviously, of being a hockey player, but also, you know, get that education. So I moved to the United States when I was 15 to South Florida for a year. And then after that, got invited to play at Shattuck, which, you know, everyone knows kind of is the Harvard of hockey. Played at Shattuck for 2 years. And after that, went straight to University of Connecticut for my first 2 years of college, and decided to transfer to Northern after my sophomore year. Just kind of, you know, that decision was the tough one as well. But primarily was focused on, you know, wanting to play a little more, wanting to play on an offensive skill-based team that puts the work in, though. And obviously the coaching staff, too. Like, I really like Grant and, you know, the other coaches on the NMU coaching staff. So that's why I transferred to Northern, and haven't regretted it once.
Yeah, that's you've bounced to like all the corners of the U.S. there. You go from Russia to all the way down south, to all the way north, all the way east, all the way back. What's it like moving that much to play?
I think it's, you know, I think it's pretty normal for a hockey player to be, you know, different places. And every time you go to a new place, you know, it's a little different culture, a little different guys. You may make unbelievable connections and relationships that will last, you know, your whole life. So for me, you know, it haven't been that tough to move, but it's obviously a little tough to, you know, when you move to a new place to form those relationships. But as soon as you form them, that boosts you through.
So walk me through, like the whole April Fool's story and people reaching out to you and your reaction to us, kind of poking some fun at Northern Michigan on April 1st.
Right. I mean, obviously, it's, you know, it's not like everyone's going to close their eyes when 14 people go in the portal from a single team. And obviously, you know, there's teams that just start up, like Stonehill. And I think there's like a good amount of players from there. But that's understandable, because I think they just had a coaching change. It's a first year program. Like, some guys go in there, they don't like it. Maybe they want to go play Division III. But obviously, when 14 guys go to the portal at Northern, like, it's a situation and everyone questions what's happening, which is very understandable for me. But like, if you're talking in depth about it, and, you know, people, like, I've seen online, like, media accounts, like Facebook accounts that are kind of, you know, saying that, like, Northern, like, something's happening. Like, personally for me, you know, when you put that into the article, because everyone kind of assumed that I'm going to sign with the Devils, who I was drafted by. So the truth is, they offered me a one-way AHL contract after the year. And I just, you know, felt like I deserve more and I could do more. I have another year in college. So I didn't want to sign it. And I want to work my way to an entry-level deal through next year. So, yeah, when you put that in the article, you know, I kind of, people started reaching out to me and texting me, and I was like, it was in the morning too. And I was like, what is going on? And then I looked at it and I started reading it, and some of the stuff was true. So I was like, okay. Like, this is pretty accurate. But then I get to my name and it's like, I think it was like Utah Grizzlies or something, like in the ACHL. And yeah, I kind of, not as much as like, and then the other thing, like, I knew it's April 1st too. So on Twitter, I went on and I read some jokes before that. So I was like, I know it. But on the other side, I was like, didn't think that someone would joke about it, you know. But then, and some people, like, honestly, like, as much as I kind of, when I talked to you and you said it's an April Fool's joke, obviously, but some people didn't understand. Like, I've had like probably 25-30 people reach out to me and be like, did you, and I'm like, April 1st, and I'm like, and they didn't understand it as well, and they're questioning me. So yeah,
it just kind of fell into place, because Matt and myself, and I don't know who else was all in that conversation, but like, 2 months ago, we started thinking about if we wanted to do an April 1st article and what it would be about. And originally, I had been joking that we should say that the entire Michigan roster went in because they didn't make the tournament, because it was looking questionable that they might not at the time. And that didn't end up happening. And then, but we kept talking about it. And Matt was talking about, like, because he's gotten a, affinity for Stonehill for some reason that we would say the entire Stonehill roster went in, which isn't that far from the truth either. So then finally, like the night before, I just started writing it because like seeing how many guys were in for Northern and then signing and then graduating, it was just like, you know, 90% of the roster's gone without me having to do anything. And then I was trying to figure out, how do I make the rest of it believable? So I was like, okay, somebody needs to turn pro, and then we'll put like half the guys in the portal, and then we'll leave them just enough guys to start. And I wish I had gotten the other late portal entry correct, so it would have been a little more prophetic, but it was still funny to see the reaction and so many people like assuming it was true because it's so close to the truth that it was very believable for people.
Oh, 100%.
So what was the reason behind you entering the portal?
Right. So, you know, I would just start with this. Out of the 14 guys who are in the portal, or how many it is, 13, 14, like everyone has a different reason to go in the portal, you know? Like people are speculating that it's like Grant's going to leave, or like there's a coaching change or something, like the culture is bad, you know? And none of those things are true. You know, I can assure everyone who's going to be listening and thinking about it and talking about it. Like, reason, let's say for me, like, I think for me to get, I did a lot for Northern in my 2 years. And the coaches, like, you know, when they recruited me for my junior year, they didn't expect me to stay for 3 years, right? So for me, kind of the talking point was, you know, I did a lot of things for Northern. Northern, I had a 30-point season, like, played pretty well. You know, we won some games. We went to the cup final my junior year, and I just think whatever I was doing, you know, wasn't really enough to get that entry level deal. So for me, transferring, it's kind of a little more about exposure and playing with a little different, you know, system and try to get that entry level contract. But you know, talking about other guys, like, I don't want to like name guys, but some guys leave just because they want to play more, which is understandable, and every team has, you know, like guys enter the portal, like one of the biggest reasons guys enter the portal in the NCAA is because they just want to play more. And that is understandable because there's so many opinions. There's so many coaches. Like if one coach doesn't see you the way you're playing, maybe you go to a weaker team, or maybe you go to a team that is as good, but then you get your playing time. There's so many examples of guys succeeding in another program and guys not succeeding, transferring and not succeeding. So like, I think that's the prime reason of some guys going in. The other stuff that can be talked about is obviously like there's scholarship money. You know, a team has a certain amount of scholarship money that they give out. And some guys would want to go play in a school where their scholarship is paid for fully. You know, their parents maybe can't afford it. They can't afford it themselves. So that's understand, like, you got to understand that. But talking about, and there's obviously like some other reasons, but you know, the culture, like when I heard that the culture is bad at Northern, like I was so, you know, disappointed. And you know, some of those people who said that, they're like Northern Michigan fans, you know, and like, then they go to games and then, you know, they start questioning, but like, you don't jump to conclusions just because, you know, something is going the way you didn't see it going. Like, do you think that, like, I don't think the coaching staff saw like 14 guys leaving, but did they see, you know, Northern is going to have, like, I think the 7-for-6 best recruiting class in the nation. Like, some guys have to leave because there's better players coming, like, for sure. So, to the point, like, the culture is great. You know, my experience at Northern, like, talking about that, like, it's been unbelievable. Like, since I stepped in, the guys has been so good. My junior year and my senior year, like, welcomed the transfers. There's four of us, like, coming into Northern, my junior year, and you know, coaches took us in and the players took us in, you know, and it's not a surprise that like two out of four of us, like, you know, we wore letters last year. Like it was, you know, it's a culture that's keep evolving and keep growing. And even though 14 guys are leaving, like they're gonna do, like, I have absolutely no concern about them not doing well next year. Like, I know that the coaching staff does everything there to help their team, and like the amount of time they spend, you know, for practice and video and all that stuff. Like I don't think it's matched in any other way or fashion. Talking more about the culture, like the guys kind of like, the guys love each other, and they like throughout, you know, we don't have any, there's no incidents, nothing like that. Like it's a close community, and you know, that was a little frustrating to me when NMU fans would be talking about how the culture has changed, or like Grant, like I've seen people saying Grant has to be fired, like and some guys like leaving maybe because Grant's a great coach to start with. He's a hard coach, he's a, like, you have to earn his respect. It's not an easy, like, it's not a cakewalk. You don't come into a team and just, he puts you on the first line and then you start playing. Like, there's no, when I transfer to Northern, there's no promises. Yes, they like had opportunity for me and I saw that opportunity too, but you got to put the work in and you got to follow up with it. It's not a, one-time thing. So, like, that was again frustrating that people are saying like fire him and stuff like this. I think he's been at Northern for 8 years and he's been to what, three cup finals in the league. Yes, like he came short three times, but it takes a while to get a team going and it's tough to win. It's a tough conference,
Well, yeah, one of the things that we always tend to talk about is with the portal is how it seems to hurt the small schools, but it also helps too. I mean, you came to Northern through the portal too. You didn't go there originally, right? So what's that process like? Because you've done the portal twice now. How does that work for when you decide to leave UConn, right? And make it to Northern. What's that process like as from the player side of things to get there?
I think that it's not about, the league being weak or being strong, or it's how people perceive it more, because like a good example is Andre Gantos, right? He had, I think, a 30-point season or something like that every year he's been in college at Northern, right? So, and he had the most points in college hockey this year out of active players. He had over 150 points, and he only gets a two-way AHL East Coast contract out of it. And then guess what? He goes to East Coast, and he has, I think, very close to 3 points per game. In the first four games, he has like something like 9 points or something like that. It's crazy how people think that the CCHA is an easy league to play with in, because all the guys that succeed in the CCHA, then they go and they perform. Like, take the guys from Mankato, and obviously Mankato was a great team my junior year. They had a lot of good players, but like Andre Palva already played in the National Hockey League. Like, there's two defensemen now, Livingstone and Hirose. They already played in the National Hockey League, and they're successful CCHA players. Not maybe it's not as balanced. Like, the teams are not as balanced and they're a lot top heavy, but the players that succeed in that league, then they succeed further on. And people just think that's a weak league because, let's say, teams lose to other teams. I think the players, the best players on a team in the CCHA, is they're as good as in a team in the Big Ten. Like, the top guys, like Sam Morin scored 24 goals this year. Like, it's not that easy to do in this league. And people just think it's an easy league. So that's why there's a perception that the transfer portal is hurting the, those small schools and stuff like that. But I think it's the opposite a little bit, because yes, players are leaving and some guys think the grass is greener somewhere else, that which is okay. But they're also getting players, like players that don't fit on a good team. Like, sometimes they become unbelievable players on a team maybe perceived that's weaker, but it's not true, So like, there's a lot of transfers. Like, for as an example, like Christoph Papp, I played with Papper for 2 years, and he's one of my best friends probably on, in just my whole life now. And that's kind of the relationship, you build at Northern. But like, he was at North, he was at Michigan State, and he didn't really play much. And then he comes to Northern, he's one of the best players in the conference for 2 years, And that's what. And right now, guys who are not going to fit on their Big Ten teams or NCHC teams, like the top teams, are going to go and they're probably going to find home in the CCHA and succeed.
Yeah, like
I'll go
go
ahead.
ahead. What, like you said, like the guys coming in, like how hard has it was it to play against a guy like Jack Works for 2 years that came in as a transfer for Tech, right? We've benefited from the portal too.
Right. Well, I think for sure, for sure. It's just finding the portal is not only about bringing in the top scorer or the guy with the most points. If you can do that, that's good for you. But it's about bringing the right people, because at the end of the day, the right people win. It's not about the best players. And obviously, Tech won this year. It's like they're a good hockey team. but probably because they have good players in that room and good people, most importantly. And they kind of went on a run that we went on last year, because at the end of the day, like, it doesn't matter how you play in conference and what your pairwise is. It's about that late run, and the teams that have good people, they work together and create that winning culture at the end of the year. But talking about Works, you know, I think he's a good team player. You know, like, oh, every time we played against him, you know, he works hard, he plays hard, and guys around the league respect that.
For sure. So I kind of understand your thought process and your logic behind going into the portal. Like, you've had a great career at Northern. You think you need to get a little bit more exposure to get that higher contract you feel like you deserve. But still, when fans see that 14 players go into the portal, like, that causes a lot of, like, that raises a lot of red flags. And, you know, the way you've spoken makes us feel, or makes me feel, like it's really not like a cultural problem with the guys in the room or with the coaches. So you don't necessarily have to name names, but what are some other reasons that some guys have for going and testing the waters in the portal?
Well, let's say, you know, kind of like, if you want to name Carson Stokes, you know, he was our third string goalie this year, and he didn't play. He played a little bit in the exhibition against Tech, and, you know, that's hell of an experience for him, I think. But I think at the end of the day, he just, you know, every player, you want to play. Like, yeah, it'll be nice to be, you know, on a national championship team, but what if you're not playing? You know, how much of an experience are you getting from it? Like, would you rather play on a maybe a little weaker team, but play a lot and be the person, you know, the guy? I think that's what he wanted to do. So that's why he went to the portal, because he wants to play. So he's going to find a team where he's going to play, and there's no hard feelings. You know, like, the other thing is, like, people think that the coaches are upset. Like, they're upset and a little disappointed when guys go in the portal, but there's a mutual respect within our locker room, at least at Northern. So coaches understand that, and they respect that decision. So his decision, he went into the portal, they respect that. You know, like, I talked to Coach Grant about kind of my decision, my logic about it. And, you know, he had just, you know, a lot of advice and stuff, and there was no hard feelings about it. And same with other guys. Like, I know, for example, Papper, Christoph Papp, he just kind of, like, you know, some guys, like, don't want to play in college anymore. Like, and I know he's in the portal too, but some guys go in the portal and they just see, like, what's out there for them, kind of, because the other thing you can see is the part of his education. Like, many guys want to get their master's at a, you know, a really good education program, and they don't really care maybe as much about hockey. You know, that's another option I think guys go in the portal for, from other teams.
Are any of them engineers? Do you know?
I can imagine
that's the last thing, like, there's never, like, at least I don't think anyone is going to transfer from Michigan Tech to Northern or from Northern to Tech. You know,
there's been one guy to do it that we know of, and his last name was Pietola, of course. So,
two.
Aaron and Chase.
Yeah. two Pietolas.
There we go. Oh, that's a little different, I guess. But, you know, yeah, there's so much, like, respect for the rivalry that, you know, if a program, the rival program calls, like, it's going to be like, you know, there's obviously respect, but you're going to have to decline it because, like, you respect the culture of the program you're in.
Yeah. So this year is the last year of the five, you know, the COVID rules, right? So do you think that's having an impact with people? Because, hey, I got that fifth year out there, I'm going to just try and see what I can get.
I think the other thing about it is you don't have to skip a year, right? So that's kind of like, you can try out new things and it doesn't cost you anything, let's say. But the other thing, I think the portal is kind of, it keeps the coaches honest. Because, and this applies to every team. Like, I've seen, and I have friends in other teams, and they talk about, you know, how, like, guys come in and when they, you know, sign their NOI, you know, they're kind of there for 4 years and that's it. You can't do anything about it. But now it keeps the coaches honest, and they're not just, you know, people in the room. They're people you care about, because if you don't care about them, some guys might leave, you know?
Yeah, Tim has been a big proponent of that side of the portal ever since we've had the discussions around it.
I think coaches started caring about
flexibility you guys get. Yeah.
Way more since the portal started, with no skipping a year. I think the care and the treatment of, like, not just players, but people has became astronomically, like, bigger. And, like, talk about Grant, you know, like he's obviously a hockey coach, but he's a great person, you know, and we had team dinners with him at his house, kind of like all that stuff. Like it's all team building stuff, and he's good at it, and he tries to be the best at it. And you know, obviously, like, it's been a tough season for Northern this year, but it's you're not gonna go to the Cup Championship every year, you know, because there's people coming and going, and you try to assemble the team that's gonna take it, you know, the farthest you can. But sometimes it doesn't work out, and I think it's just one of the years that it didn't work out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple.
So when we talk about guys going into the portal and all that, I know there's been a lot of talk about, like you mentioned, like players wanting more playing time, but I think a lot of the talk around Northern has been like, did Grant or the staff push guys out, or was it more a matter of like an honest conversation about like, hey, this is the kind of playing time I think you could get next year because of who's all already coming in? Is that more likely what it was? Or
I think it's, you know, it's like I said, it's mutual respect. So and Grant has been always honest to me about, you know, how I've been playing and what I can expect from him. And he knows he has that respect back from me. So like on my personal experience, you know, like he always has trust, and he tells guys like straight, you know, he's a straight up guy. And you go into his office, you know, if he's mad at you and you didn't play well and stuff like this, and he expects more from you, he's going to tell you straight up. And it doesn't matter who you are, if you're not in the lineup trying to crack the roster or if you're on the first line, like it doesn't matter for him who you are. He's going to be honest to you. He's going to be straight up. He's going to demand the same from everyone. And if you don't want to give that effort, then, you know, it's not a place for you. Or, you know, and like you said, like pushing guys out, I don't think that's a thing, pushing guys out. I think it's more of like, obviously, some guy like with the seventh recruiting class in the nation coming in, probably some guys are going to get less ice time than they were expecting. And I think he just kind of, you know, exit meetings, he probably told them straight up, you know, that's how it's going to be. Like, do you like, and he's not saying, I think you should go to the portal. I don't think that's ever a conversation. It's just a conversation like, you're going to get this ice time. Like, because at the end of the day, if you think about it, they recruit people first. It's not players, it's good people. So it's good people in that locker room. So they care about, like, and they would have, because they recruited them. They don't want to get rid of them because, you know, they're good people. And that's how you form a winning culture. Even guys who don't play much, they're great people. And again, like, everyone wants to play. And then you have to kind of make that decision with your family, or maybe you have an advisor. And it's like, okay, what do I want to do? Do I want to stay at a team A and be, you know, not play much, but I have so many relationships with the guys? Or does my desire to play more prevail, and then I go to the transfer portal? So I think there's no pushing guys out. Like, at least it's at Northern, it's not a thing. Like, I think it's straight up conversation about your ice time, about maybe your scholarship money, and just like that, you move on from there, and you kind of make a decision with your family after that.
Yeah, it makes sense. You're just looking to see what's the best spot to get you exposure, whether it's going to be at Northern, whether you're playing there or not. Do you think from a league perspective, being that top scorer, that top guy on a CCHA team, is there a benefit then to moving on to, you know, maybe Big Ten or NCHC or what, Hockey East or whatever, to be, you know, a bottom six versus a top six? Does that make that big of a difference exposure wise, contract wise, or is it more of a team by team basis?
I believe that obviously, like, if you're a good point producer in the CCHA, you're going to have more interest than if you're not a good point producer in the
CCHA,
which is understandable. That's why guys, you know, guys in the NHL, guys who have 100 point seasons, they earn X amount of money, and guys who have, you know, 20 point seasons, they earn Y amount of money. But at the other thing is, like, other teams, I'm sure of that, they have good culture too. So if there is a player who's a really good point producer, but he's not a good person, you kind of know that, or you heard something, like, teams that have good cultures, they'd go around that person. And teams that don't have a good culture, they might take him in, you know? Like, that's kind of how, like, and the coaches have to, you know, think about it and be like, okay, we're getting a better player, he's probably going to help us, but is that going to change anything in the locker room? So I think here at Northern, coaches done an unbelievable job recruiting from the portal and in my 2 years, because all the guys that came in are unbelievable guys, and all the guys, like, you know, everyone formed relationships with, and so on.
Nice.
So when you're in the portal and you've already made this decision once and now you're in there again, what kind of things are you using to weed down, like whittle down the list of like places you want to go? Like, are
That's, you
you
know, that's
talking?
obviously, that's another interesting like situation that I think everyone wants to hear about. So, you know, when you're a young kid and you're 16 years old, when you're just become a, like became eligible to get recruited by or, you know, get a commitment from college, you're obviously, you know, immature and you're looking for bright and shiny. So teams will
Sure.
show you your facilities and you're like, oh my God, I'm going there because their gym is so cool, or they have a shooting room, they have something in this is nice and whatever. But as you get older, like I've been through this process so many times, I feel like you become more mature and you don't decide based on facilities. Obviously, you know, resources and stuff like that, it's a great bonus. Don't get me wrong. And you kids and their parents should look at that. But at the end of the day, you're picking the right culture, like the guys in the room, which you don't know, obviously, but you know the coaching staff. And if the coaching staff and you find them kind of, you know, appealing and you think they're telling you the truth and they're talking about culture, that means they care about the culture in the room. So that's why where you want to be. You know, if they're just talking about, oh, you're gonna play with this guy and it's gonna be cool, you're gonna have that amount of points and high flying offense, you can do whatever you want, like we'll let you play, like that's not where you want to go at the end of the day, I think. So like for me, when I transferred to from Connecticut to Northern, you know, Northern was, I think they finished like 25th in pairwise that my sophomore year when I was at UConn. So I was transferring in, and I've had, you know, kind of better teams in pairwise offers, and they probably had a little better roster, right? But would I have the same experience at North as I had at Northern? I don't think so. You know, my junior year, probably the best year of hockey I've had and the most fun at Northern, you know, especially obviously going to the cup final and having that run at the end of the year. But it's not about that as much as it's about the guys in the room. So coming back again at people, like, you know, talking about culture and stuff, like there's nothing wrong with the culture. The culture is great. And if you ask other guys, like you ask them to talk about it, I'm sure they're going to tell you the same thing, that the culture is good and guys are demanding of each other and guys want to get better. And that's how it is at that program. So
You mentioned when you do before you transfer, you don't know any of the other guys in the room. You have to go by the coaching staff. But how much do you talk with other players, other players that are on your current team that maybe have transferred from other places, other players that you played with in juniors or in a lower level, or even other players in the conference from other teams to learn about cultures of other other teams?
For sure, you know, you have so many friends and, you know, the relationships you have through your hockey career, they help you out. So, and you share your experience. You know, when I, like, for example, this year, Mitch Dielstra came in onto our team from the portal from Ferris State, you know, and he shared some things they do at Ferris. And, you know, as much as Ferris, you know, they finished last in the league, you know, there's some stuff that we can learn from them and they can learn from us. And kind of like having those transfers come in, it's really good for the coaching staff because there's not a single coach in the NCAA who knows everything, right? Like there's so much learning and so much evolving in the game. So I think bringing in transfers helps a lot for your culture too, because they can, you know, they can come, like, let's say guys who won somewhere, like I think, like let's say Jack Works, you know, he won a national championship at Denver and coming to Michigan Tech, like that helps their locker room 100%. Like no doubt he brings something special that none of the guys on Michigan Tech's roster have, which is a national championship. So he can talk, you know, for the freshmen coming in, he can talk to them and, you know, kind of put them in through what he went through and, you know, for let them know the expectations. So other than that, like when you're in the portal, like you talk to other guys, but the most important thing is like how you feel about certain things. Like the guys can be, you know, upset about their coaches and stuff in the past or heard some story and kind of run away with it. But you got to make sure the information you're getting is, you know, honest and it's true. And, you know, on the other side, like if you hear something, don't be afraid to ask that coach, you know, the team that's kind of recruiting you in the portal, be like, what about this situation? Like he's not gonna, you know, like and see what he says. Get as much information as you can in the portal because it's not gonna hurt you, it's only gonna help you.
Right.
Do you work in manufacturing, product design, or product development? Is your business trying to improve efficiency while also producing at scale? Livonia Technical Services can help. They provide world-class quality improvement training and consulting for failure modes and effect analysis, product development, and cost reduction. All things that could help Northern Michigan assemble a competent defense. If you think your business could use a prevention mindset and reduce manufacturing costs, a partnership with Livonia Technical Services might be right for you. Check them out at livoniatech.net. That's LIVONIA tech.net.
Fibke Dental is a general dentistry practice located in downtown Rhinelander, Wisconsin, home of the Hodag. Look online at FibkeDental.com or find them on Facebook. They do pain-free dentistry for kids, adults, people that went to great schools, and people that ended up at Northern Michigan. Stop in and say hi between 8 and 5 and tell them THG sent you. That is F-I-E-B-K-E Dental.com.
So I completely understand if this isn't the place you want to break any kind of news, but do you have any feelings on do you have like a short list of teams you might end up on now that you're kind of going through the portal process?
Well, I'm kind of between NCHC and Big Ten in terms of conferences. And there's like five teams that I'm, kind of interested in, but probably going to make my decision this week. But obviously, it's something that I have to talk to my parents and, communicate obviously with coaches. And I've actually talked to Grant about, and he's been really good and gave me some good advice about some teams and, what he thinks about them.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that the outside perspective maybe doesn't understand. And it's good to hear you say that, is right, that the coach you're currently working with isn't just there and it's done. Like you said it, you're gone. Now there's no communication, whatever. You're kind of like banned off to the side or whatever, right? I mean, still being helpful, still helping you along with the process and where you're going to go, right? That's really nice to hear, I think.
It's important, if you build that relationship with your coach throughout your career, when something happens, let's say you go to the portal and stuff like that, if there's mutual respect again, then there's not going to be hard feelings. But if you didn't build that, relationship and you were kind of quiet and you didn't express yourself when you didn't like something or felt like you have to say something and you didn't, then there might be some, feelings about it. And you might think that the coach is too, upset on you and angry and,
Yeah, we just need the CCHA to actually be a little more successful out of conference. So, players like you guys don't feel like you need to go to the other schools to get that exposure. I completely get why you're doing it. Nothing negative, in your way. It gets you into a big league with a lot more coverage and a program that's most likely going to have some postseason success compared to what the CCHA has had the last few years, right? I think that's where we get grumpy as CCHA fans about the way it's working out so right now. But that's on the league itself, not winning against those teams.
Well, I think it's the other thing is like I said, it's not about like players don't. Like, we think whoever's in the CCHA, we think it's a very competitive league. It's hard to play there every weekend, either you're home or you're away. It's a tough conference, and some guys might not understand it, and if they're in another conference. But, the thing that why guys, I think, that transfer from their teams to, better teams is because they understand that, the higher-ups, kind of the scouts and whatever, they don't perceive it as a good league. So why would, let's say, the defenseman from Bemidji, Polkamp, he was the best defenseman in the CCHA, he got the award or something like that, top three defenseman in the CCHA, and he played so much. I don't think he's leaving again because he has some disagreements with the coach, because he got all the playing time. He got to play in every situation as a freshman. He was successful in every situation as a freshman, but he goes in the portal and he goes to Denver. Why does he do that? He probably, it might be a situation where his NHL team, whoever he's drafted by, goes, you got to go this, you got to go there, because we see you there. And I've seen it firsthand when people were in college and some teams signed them early because they didn't like, the NHL teams didn't like the coach, like the coaching style or how much their player was playing. So that kind of, that connects to it too.
Yep. Yeah, it makes perfect sense. We just wish that the CCHA would up its out of conference game to get that perception better, because like you said, it is a tough league to play in. I mean, look at how close it was this year, right? I mean, everybody from 7th to 1st could have been in a different spot with the last weekend, depending how things went, right? Which is awesome to see. It makes the league a lot more fun to watch, but in the end, it means we're all beating up on each other, but we have to beat up on out of conference teams too to make the pairwise look better, make that perception better. being a one.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing why NCHC, let's say, like, you gotta be like top five team, and like you gotta be 500, you make the tournament.
Yep. Yeah.
Because exactly. They're so good out of conference. But on the flip side, is like, I think sometimes doesn't go a certain way. Like teams play good out of conference schedules in the CCHA. Like Mankato, I think they split with North Dakota in North Dakota, like, pretty sure. And that's a good opponent, you know? They're what? North Dakota's top five in the country in pairwise. And there's other teams that, like BC, I think BC played Michigan Tech, and Tech outplayed them for the first two periods.
Yeah. Oh, well, we know. We were. Yeah, we watched.
The thing is, like, yeah. It's just, I think sometimes the skill, like those other teams, they might be a little bit more skilled than the CCHA teams. But I think in the CCHA, like, it's more of like real kind of hockey, and like it's closer to the pro level than some, like some games. We watch some games too, like as hockey players on, you know, and we get together and we watch some other games at different schools at other conferences. And we're like, this is, you know, it looks easy, but it's not easy too. Like, it's not, don't take it, you know, as like, oh, like I would go to that league and get X amount of points. It's not like that, but it's just like, you watch some games, there's no hitting. Guys are not hitting each other. Like, do you see any time in the NHL guys don't hit each other? Like, there's always like guys are finishing checks. That's how you play. So I think, you know, for the CCHA to become more competitive, obviously they have to start, you know, winning games and at a conference and stuff, but it's also recruiting that top talent and guys, you know, understanding. And that's where all the younger kids probably listening, like, do you want to be the guy and go in and be a top six guy and have a trust relation with the coaches? They put you in every situation. Or do you want to, you know, go somewhere where everything is built for you already and just ride it out and let the other guys win a championship for you? And yeah, you're a part of the championship, like, good for you. But coming back to, like, you know, how much did you get from it? What was your experience, you know, sitting on the bench, not playing? Like, it's not right. Always greener. Like, so guys like are going into like and committing to teams, like, again, because they're a little bit more immature, like they commit to those, you know, high end, high talent, like, this is, here's the path. Like, I got to go to this school and then I'm going to sign here and here because that's what this guy did. And that's what five guys in front of me did. That doesn't work that way. Everyone's different. So like for me, like, you know, I could have stayed at UConn 4 years and hoping that I could sign, or, you know, I made kind of a decision that not a lot of players make and went to the portal after my sophomore year and went to, you know, from Hockey East, which is considered this high top, you know, end conference, to the CCHA. And I never regretted it once. And I built that relationship now with, you know, Grant, the coaching staff, and the guys in the locker room, that for me, it's worth way more than, you know, sitting on the bench on a high end team my first two, like, and not doing anything and getting this championship experience.
Yeah, it makes sense for sure.
Yeah. So, Artem, I got to say, your responses have been, and this conversation has gone absolutely nothing like I expected it would, because most players from a rival school, when they're given a chance to come on to like a podcast centered around their rival team to talk about their experience, and they're in the portal and they're on the other side of playing on that team, would have taken the chance to maybe like blow some things up on the way out. And that wasn't you at all. And I have a lot of respect for the way you've gone about this. And I honestly think it's you've been a class act talking about your experiences all the way like through your career. But you did talk for a second about, you know, NHL teams getting into players' ears and telling them to go play elsewhere. And that's kind of where we think things are with the big elephant in the room with Tech, with Kyle Kukkonen leaving. So as unfortunate as it is to have to bring that up for everyone else here, I saw everyone else get a little sad there. But that's our speculation right now, is that the Ducks got into his ear and said, like, you should get experience elsewhere. But
well, honestly, you know, like, he's been to Tech, I think, as long as I've been to Northern, for 2 years. So in his first year, he scored, I think, what, 18 goals, something like that.
Yeah, he turned it on the second half of his freshman year and just went nuts. Yeah.
So, and he was a really good player. And even this year, like, I think he was injured for a bit and he wasn't playing.
Yeah.
But he was still like an impactful player when he was on the ice, even though maybe he didn't have the point production that he wanted to. But sometimes it's not about the coaches. It's not about, maybe it's about his NHL team. Like, you never know. But I think another thing that people forget about is, like, sometimes you need to change the scenery and just kind of switch it up a little bit. And just because you feel that way, like, that's why people, you know, that's the simplest thing. That's why people move and people find new jobs, because they just think they need something new for, and they need, maybe need a new experience, you know? So like, I don't know about like what happened for him, kind of like if that was his NHL team, but I know there are teams that talk to guys and, you know, they say, you got to go there and you got to do this because this matches our playing style, let's say, but it's different for everyone again.
Yeah. It's been the interesting thing. I've been a college hockey fan since I was little, right? I grew up going to the MAC as a little kid. That's been where I'm from, right? It's a different, with the portal coming in, you don't get 4 years of somebody, right? You don't get to, you know, have them be with the team forever, or for what feels like forever, right? I get that it's a huge flexibility for the players, and it's definitely worth it. It's holding coaches accountable. There's a ton of positives to it. I just hope that the NCAA can figure out a way to balance it so that the small schools don't become just jumping points, right? That's my biggest fear.
Yeah, we don't want the CCHA to just be AAA affiliates for the Big Ten, right?
Right, yeah. You know, it's an interesting spot for college hockey to be in that spot, I think. You know, for you guys as players, it's fantastic. You guys have all of the power right now in terms of it. You're not stuck. You're not in a contract that takes forever to get out of or anything like that. It's awesome for that. But I'm curious how the smaller schools, you know, in the end kind of deal with it from the league, how to get better as a league, right? I'm scared that the CCHA continues to slide off into irrelevance because of it.
Well, I think the big thing is like people have to perceive it as a good conference, and not everyone who comes here, you know, succeeds. And let's, like, you know, like Austin Swancourt, he was with BG. He was the best player in the CCHA the year before, and then he comes to Tech. And I think something just didn't work out with maybe the coaching staff, or maybe, you know, the style of play even. Because BG, I think, is more offensive than Michigan Tech a little bit, kind of more of like the side of, well, let's make plays. And Tech is very structured, and that's why, you know, sometimes you win because you're structured, which is good for them. Like, so you never know, like, what you're going to get out of your transfer portal experience. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like for
me,
it was for me, the transfer portal, like I'm never going to be against it, because for me, it changed. It kind of flipped, you know, and boosted and recharged my hockey career after my 2 years of college. And I never looked back at it. But for some guys, it's opposite. You know, they play good and then they think, oh, the grass is greener there. They go to the portal, they go to maybe a better team or more, you know, where they want to be. And then they don't succeed at all. And that's kind of where their hockey career goes down. Because if you're young enough, then you can still recharge and kind of reboot and get better. But it's like when you have, you know, a couple years left and you're already at your high and you're given everything, like that's why maybe sometimes I don't really understand like guys who play 1 year somewhere, like at a small program, and then they go somewhere bigger, and that kind of upsets me a little bit, I think, in like the programs that they do that. But on the other side, like, I understand, because their decision, you know, everyone, like, at the end of the day, everyone tries to make the best out of their hockey career, hockey experience. Like, they're not going to go to the portal just because they want to go to the portal.
Yeah.
People make that decision because they want to, you know, earn money playing hockey at the end of the day, or have a good experience. So they're all doing it for it. So coaches have to understand that.
No, and it makes perfect sense. I mean, as an athlete, you have a very limited amount of time compared to any other career to do what you're going to do, right? I mean, statistically, most guys are only going to play for a few years after school. You're making the best of what you can as fast as you can, right? It's definitely an interesting career path from that perspective. And I think it's why the NCAA is super successful. You guys are getting degrees behind this, most likely, that you can use post-college or post-hockey too, right? So you're almost giving yourself a backup plan while you're still doing your primary plan, right? It works well, I think.
Yeah, and I think I understand, you know, also I understand the guys who played 4 years at some school and then they go for a fifth, they have that fifth year. And I think it ends this year, because I think it started when I started playing college. Like, people got, because I played, my freshman year was kind of the COVID year.
Yep.
So played less games and stuff like that. But that's when like the fifth year started. And I understand guys going for like playing 4 years at a program and being loyal and then leaving it for a fifth year to kind of just find a new experience, you know. At the end of the day, like, maybe some guys realize they're not going to be hockey players and they go somewhere to get a better education and set them up for success. But there's also other guys who think they're going to get more opportunity at a different program and go for a fifth year to kind of, you know, maybe earn that contract or something. And like, it's different again. It's very personable and different for every player.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast tonight. This was a great conversation. I don't think any of us expected it to go this direction, but it was a great podcast. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Yep.
Now we'll let you go because you don't need to listen to Dustin read the review from the Mankato fan and probably talk a little bit about other stuff. Good. But thanks for joining us. That was great.
Of course.
Yeah, thanks, thank Gerardo. Best of luck in narrowing down your choices and wherever
appreciate
you end
it.
Up.
Thank you.
Yeah, right. Have a good one. Bye.
You too.
1 minute remaining in the podcast.
All right. Well, that should do it for this episode of the Chasing McNaughton podcast. Please check out our Patreon and join by visiting patreon.com/tech hockey guide. Patrons at the white level above receive question priorities. Patrons at the black level above receive access to extra podcast content, including extended versions of every podcast. Patrons at the gold level or above receive unfiltered YouTube video of the podcast each week, which usually drops the day after we record. And then that silver level we were talking about, which we have a couple members at, is $25 a month. And that gets you access to the like unfiltered audio file. Basically, as soon as Zoom is done processing it, I post it up on Patreon for everybody to listen, or the two of them to listen. So follow us on Twitter at ChasingMacPod or at Tech Hockey Guide. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can't find your podcast on the site of choice. Please let us know and we'll make it happen. So if you did donate over $330 to the tech fundraiser, you're probably not listening to the podcast anymore because most of you don't listen to this part. Once I start reading, well, that should do it. But if you are and you haven't told me what size t-shirts you want yet, check your email. You should have a form waiting for you to tell me. I think there's like six of you that haven't. If you can't find that, just go ahead and contact me on Twitter, Facebook, or via the email that you reply to, like the email that you got when you signed up for the fundraiser, because we need to get those shirts ordered here soon. But I think that's about it. So once again, thanks to our sponsors, Fibke Dental in Rhinelander, Wisconsin, Arcadia Insurance Servicing. Come on, map, pull up. Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, Texas, Arizona, and soon to be Pennsylvania. And Livonia Technical Services, which also includes author Mike Antleitner and his books on it's in the Amazon store. I'll make sure Nick gets some ads or some listings in there for his books, and we should probably update this so it talks about that more. Finally, thanks to the thank you notes for all the bumpers in this week's episode. If you like what you hear, check them out at thethankyounotes.bandcamp.com.
You've been listening to the Chasing McNaughton podcast, presented by Tech Hockey Guide, covering the Michigan Tech Huskies and the CCHA.